to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
That's a very interesting question. So we were supposed to do the show yesterday, and then an unscheduled event popped up in my life called food poisoning. I would give it a 0 out of 10. And very much a hard skip rating. If you know our rating system, then you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I had like other stuff planned yesterday as well. I was going to go and see Sinners as well. There was a showing for it. And, you know, the further I got into the night, the closer I realized that those things just weren't going to be happening. The previous 2 weeks, because of course we've missed, well, was recording this week anyway. I just had some scheduling issues and things like that. So but we're back, we're doing a gaming talk, and like you jokingly sent me with a gif, it feels like it's been 84 years. It does feel like it's been ages since we've done one of these, but it has only been 2 weeks. So anyway, what have you been playing?
Still on.
I just heard like a clang. I don't know what's going on your side.
Here, let me test it. Did that audio clip not play?
No. The first time I heard a clang, and that time I heard nothing. So
that is so weird, because I was trying to play the sound clips like I do.
Yeah.
And didn't go through.
No.
Not quite sure why. Oh no, my power's gone. Yeah, so I'm still kind of playing Clair Obscura Expedition 33. I am at the Act 2 boss. And kind of stuck on that. Not going to say who the boss is, because it is a massive, massive story spoiler. The biggest hang-up comes with is just that this game really wants you to be really good with dodges and counters and whatnot. Because I can usually get through stage one of the boss fairly unscathed. But then you go into round two, and it completely changes up all the attacks, completely changes up all the timing, and it completely changes up all the everything. And it's just, you know, it dials it up to 11, so.
Is that because you're in a new act, or there's something that's happened, or what's...
It's just, well, I've always said that this game expects you to be good with the countering system. And that's been evident from day one. Now, most fights, you can get away with not being good at it. It's only really the mini bosses, the sub bosses, and the main bosses where it has to be a thing. And since I'm not great at it, the game has these mechanic called Pictos, which are like skill buffs and whatnot. So I've been trying to min-max them to get to compensate for that. Like there's a Picto called First Strike, where you attack first, so that lets you get a little bit of that damage in early. And there's a Pictos called Death Bomb, to where you do 10,000 damage if one of your characters die. And there's a Picto called Regen, where you start with 3 rounds of health regeneration, and so on and so forth. There's like, I think I've got like 60 Pictos right now that I'm trying to cycle through, trying to find like the best combination. And you can't have them all, which would be nice to have them all, but you can't have them all. But you collect these things called Shades of Lumina, and it's basically a skill point system. And the more Shades of Lumina you have, the more Pictos you can equip, because they have varying costs depending on how strong they are and how effective they are with the game. And so it's just a matter of getting better at the dodging and whatnot with the boss character. And that's it. I'm going to get it. I actually backed out so I can grind a little bit, so I can get 2 of my characters some more hit points to try to level that out, because my main healer was a little low on the hit points. I'm going to try to knock out a few levels and get her more hit points.
Nice. Yeah, it's on like one of my next, on the list of sort of my next games to play. But as you'll see in a minute from my opinion on a particular RPG. I don't want to jump from one great big game into another great big game, so I'm going to try and play some smaller things just for a bit of like, palate cleanser sort of thing. Because I went back to Boomerang this week and tried to catch up with like, okay, what games have I missed? What games have I missed this year? What's just come out and what is coming out? And trying to sort of see what's going on with all those things. And I saw it on the list, which is great and that, but I'm not sure I want to go from one massive RPG to another one. Because I would like to finish another game at some point soon. So, but yeah, it's I'm probably gonna play because I've got two games. They haven't arrived yet. They should arrive maybe tomorrow or something. Assassin's Creed Shadows, which not guaranteeing I'll finish it, but I want to at least see what it's like firsthand. And then Indiana Jones, of course, has arrived on PS5. So I'm probably gonna try Assassin's Creed Shadows until it inevitably annoys me or something like that, and then I'll very likely. Play through and finish all of Indiana Jones, unless that game, annoys me or something. I don't know. I haven't played it yet, so I'm probably gonna basically go through those two next, then see how I feel, see what's coming out. I know you've got things like Death Stranding 2 out soon, which is going to be a very big game as well. And then I'll either get to Expedition 33 after that, or I'll see kind of what's about. But that's my plan. Cool. Anything else you've been playing?
No, not really. I haven't had a whole lot of time, personally for games. So, I'll do like 20, 30 minutes of that and get frustrated and watch some YouTube videos. And because I'm old, I nap all the time now. So that apparently is a thing.
Cool. All right, I guess let's move on to my stuff. So I finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'll mention it. I'll still mention it, I guess, in the housekeeping section. I gave the game a skip rating, which might surprise some of you. Now, if you remember, because it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to do this, is rather than me reiterating my full thoughts on the game on this podcast, I read out my social media review, which is like the brief description of my thoughts with a link to the, obviously the podcast. If you remember, I used to kind of, I can't remember the last time I did that on this podcast, because I've spent the first sort of 5 months of this year replaying all those Naughty Dog games. And then I have a couple of bits of feedback, and then some things to talk about from that. So I said, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is great for 70% of its runtime. It then leaned into remakes. So remake is the first part of the three parts of the remake. Rebirth is the second part. So yeah, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is great for 70% of its runtime. It then leans into remakes, bloated pacing issues. This results in the game getting in the way of itself whilst trying to tell a good story. This then leads to the moment having less impact. So that's my kind of overall thoughts on the game. It's a rare occasion actually where, because I looked at my save file at the end and it said 63 hours, which sounds about right for an RPG, right? It's got a long story part, which is just the middle section of a three-part story. So anyway, and then plus all the grinding and all the other bits as well. I'll carry on speaking about this in a minute, but what do you think of kind of what I've said there about the game?
Yeah, that kind of fits with what other people have talked about it. I was never really the biggest Final Fantasy fan after they went away from, the White Mage and the Red Mage and all that and made it into absolute ridiculousness with everything. So I haven't played it in a while, but I do know people that play it. So from what I've heard, they pretty much agree with that. So.
I was looking up some information about time regarding the original game's length. So that's all of the story in one game. And then the different lengths of essentially part one, part two, and of course we don't know how long part three is going to be yet. If you'll keep in mind that, so what was it that I looked up? The average completion time for main story is like 30 something hours. No, I think it was like 38 hours or something for Rebirth. And for the completion time for Final Fantasy VII, so the original game, was 33 hours. So that goes to show, if you take something that's 30 hours and then let's say something that's about 40 hours, let's say 45, give or take, because there's a bloated end section of this game. So if you take an original game, which is, let's say, 35 hours, right? And then this middle part, not the whole story, Rebirth's not the whole story, you take the middle part of this and you make that 10 hours longer than the whole of the original game. You then connect the first part, which is Remake, and however long, probably 50, 60 hours, that whatever the third one's going to be called, and you attach those together. That is, yeah, more than triple the length of the entire original game. Now, where my main problem was with this, and I won't go into this for too much because there's some other feedback here, and I've already reviewed the game. In fact, I'll go to the feedback I've got here because it will help me along with what I wanted to say about it. Josh writes in and says, excuse me, Josh writes in and says, I was looking forward to your FF7 review to talk about the dreaded Cait Sith level. Any more thoughts on it? So, for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, and if you don't, good for you. Really, good for you, because I didn't know about it, and then I came across it, and then I looked up some comments. And I was like, oh, right, this is a bad one. So there's a character in the game called Cait Sith, who's basically a talking cat, and he's got this remote-controlled big bear bunny thing that you can use for like different for like your upgraded attacks. That gives him like his ultimate and all this kind of stuff, right? There's this level that you go through where you control him. And for certain parts, Barret and Aerith are with you. For other parts, you have to go on your own because there's this whole vent selection bit. Sorry, there's vent section bit where, because you're a cat and you can roll through a vent, they added that as a mechanic. And you very, very slowly, and I mean very, very slowly, go through this level, which I don't know how long it actually took. I dread to think how long the actual level was. And you slowly throw boxes at switches. And then there's a part where, because there's a thing called Mako in the game, which is like the energy of the earth or whatever it was, and you have to throw these Mako cubes into this rotating platform thing, and if you miss one, you've got to slowly hop back, and it's the hopping that adds. It's a really, really awful, awful level. I don't know how it was done in the original game, but I don't imagine it was similar to that. Yeah, that was, there was a bit, there's like an hour or two before that where I realized, okay, you're really kind of adding some unnecessary stuff here. And then from there on out, so from the Cait Sith level onwards, it just started putting in way too much overbloated stuff to it. And one of my points on the podcast that I made is, so you essentially have three sections of this game. You have the story bits and the cutscenes, so when you're actually going through the main story. Then you have all your open world stuff, you know, the open world grinding, the side quests, all that sort of stuff. All of that is very, very normal. I wouldn't call that part overbloated because you can play as much of that as you choose to. Apart from getting a chocobo, which is pretty standard for each new section of the world. And then there's the third part, which is just really wildly unnecessary bloating and this ridiculously slow platforming where it's sort of, you're walking across a bridge. Oh, the bridge got broken. Can you walk around, climb up this, push a box off of here really slowly, and then walk around again really slowly, and then do that like four more times? There's just, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the review, but something that I kind of thought of. Actually, it wouldn't have been on the review because I thought about it afterwards. You know, in this day and age with, like, let's say AAA gaming, right? How you're hearing about these, you know, two, three, maybe $400 million budgets for all these games. I'm not saying that those overbloated parts of the game contributed to like $100 million or something, right? But when we're making these great big massive games, and obviously this game would have cost a lot to make, why are you putting? Because I was thinking about that again after I posted the review and all that sort of stuff about like what I consider to be the overbloated parts of the game. You simply don't need them in there. They don't. Those parts of the game don't. They don't benefit anything. Especially in the final, that, because I said like 70% of here is really great. That last 30%, when you're really ratcheting up to the end of the story and Sephiroth popping up and all this sort of thing, right? And you're trying to build tension between the characters and Sephiroth and the Black Materia and all this other crazy stuff that's happening, right? And then you end up essentially stalling yourself every 10, 15 minutes because you've got to cross another bridge or climb something really big or get lost somewhere or and that's what I mean in the way of because there's a decent story being told here, and I don't know how you would compare this to like the original per se. I did come across a few videos like that. I can't really compare it in that sort of way, but you're getting in the way of telling your own story when you're giving me a really compelling few minute cutscene, then like a good gameplay section, and then just this, hey, can you cross five really unnecessary sections to get to the next bit? It's like you're just getting in the way of yourself and just stalling your own story for no reason, really. Especially when you get to the temple bit at the end, and there's just so many extra bits and pieces. I do kind of wonder if you really, not even trim down, if you basically cut all of those bits out, because there's no reason for them to be in the game, really. If you cut all those bits out, how much time and money you would have saved on making this game? Again, I'm not saying you would have saved 100 million in 6 months of development, but you'd have saved something. What have you kind of heard about how overbloated this game is at certain points?
Well, all games have overbloating. I actually remember the specific game that broke me from trying to do all the collectibles. It was Sunset Overdrive. I think between all the different collectibles, there's over 1,000 of them. And that's one of the things I like most about Expedition 33 is there's three types of collectibles. There is the expedition logs, but they're really short, and you pretty much run into them anywhere. You don't really have to go out of your way to find them. There's audio music label albums, like the old school gramophone albums, but the music is so unbelievably good that it's actually worth trying to track them all down. And then there's NPCs in the game called Jestrals, which are basically your merchants, and there's nine lost kids. There's only nine of them. And I found five, and I can't find the other three until I get past this boss, because the boss unlocks a thing which I'm not going to spoil. And then after you beat the boss, more of the map opens up. But yeah, nine Jestrals, 33 albums, and something like 50 journals, which is where you get all the story lore from the previous expeditions. Very minimal, none of it necessary in the technical sense. There's a breakable wall that you have to get four lost Jestrals to unlock, and there's a Jestral in the Jestral village that'll give you shades of Lumina, which I mentioned before, that lets you equip more Pictos. Every 20 you find, he'll give you a big block of them. And so there's a gameplay reason to get them, but it's not necessary.
Yeah, I get what you mean, but for these, what I'm calling overstuffed bits here, there's they don't do anything to the game.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not even sort of that much. There's obviously cutscenes, and then as you're walking to somewhere, characters are talking between each other. It's just music and walking for a lot of it, and I just wonder what. See, like I was getting because like when I got back to playing it, what was that, a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, remembering how to play it and picking it back up, and I was like, oh, here's this game I really really like. I'm looking forward to seeing how it, how this part wraps itself up. And I was thinking, okay, if this like finishes really well, I'll be really excited for when the third one comes out. I'm not going to play the third one now, and the reason I'm not going, because I don't trust that you won't do that again. See, one of the things that, because when I played Remake, and granted, a lot of that was in Midgar, and there was, it was a much tighter area and all that sort of thing, so there was a lot more kind of crawling and shimmying and all that sort of thing. Although that's a different type of overbloat. At least that had a area of reason for being there. But like if I get to the last, 30% of the third game and you do the same thing, I just don't trust that you're not going to do that again in the third game. I'll watch the cutscenes of the third one when it comes out, because then I won't have to play through all those bits. And also, if you're going to put those bits in the game, I don't know if you're going to do it at the start, middle, end, all three, or somewhere in between that. Where was the other bits? Because I said I have more feedback. Yeah, so thoughts on the Kate Slith level. It's they you can put it in there, you've just got to find a way to trim that down, because there was a bit where I was legitimately very stuck on where to throw something, and I looked at like a playthrough video just to see what the person does, and all of the comments were like, oh my god, here's the Kate Sith thing, why is this in here, why did devs do this? So when you start reading comments like that and you're like, oh, I'm not on my own in thinking this. But it's a very poorly based level. For those of you that are playing it and you wonder where that is, that's about chapter 12 or so. Because there's actually 14 chapters, not 13, because the game needed an extra chapter to get to where it needed to get to. Then Peter writes in and says, was pretty shocked to see a skip rating pop up in my podcast feed for FF7 Rebirth after you praising it in December. These things change, I suppose. I just didn't expect it to do it like, it's almost like it was saving all those bits for the end of the game. I was like, hey, we haven't done any of this climbing, bridge breaking, box moving stuff. Let's shove it all at the end of the game. I don't know. But I'm guessing what you mean, Peter, is you went to refresh your whatever podcast player you use, and that came up, and you would have seen that in the title. That's some of the stuff I've been playing. I did return to because while I was waiting for Shadows and was called Indiana Jones, went back to Last of Us 2 for the no return mode, because I hadn't actually unlocked all the characters yet, and it didn't actually take me that long to do so. I had, I think, about five more characters to unlock. I had Marlena, Bill, Manny, Mel, Owen, I think. Plus the last time I played, I don't think they had Bill and Marlena on there. Actually, yes, they did. But anyway, I've done those challenges and unlocked all those characters. So that was very, very intense and sort of fun to do. But it was interesting because haven't played it since season two has been on. So it was interesting to kind of not that I need reminding of how the game plays, but to kind of go back to the actual gameplay and play as different people. So that was a really, really nice palate cleanser from Final Fantasy VII. Had a very, very good time with doing those. I haven't unlocked. Sorry, I've unlocked everybody. I've not played as everybody yet, so I'm gonna do that as well. But that was been very, very good. What was the other thing I played for a bit? No, that was it. Yeah, just finishing Rebirth, playing a bit of No Return. Obviously, playing COD here and there as well, which has been its usual shenanigans. I started trying to change the way I was aiming, that I'm aiming a little bit with the assault rifles, and I got a couple more kills. All right, that's it for the stuff we've been playing. Let's move in some housekeeping, and we'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two
episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Alright, recently on Entertainment Talk, you might have noticed some old episodes, well, not that old episodes, some old episodes popping up in your podcast feeds. What I'm still trying to do, and I'm mostly done from what I've seen, I still got some other series to check. Some of you may recall a couple of months ago I mentioned that there was an issue with some of the podcasts on the site. There was an error that occurred, that when you went to play certain episodes, it played incorrect episodes. I've slowly but surely been hunting down these episodes because I can't check them all at once. There's just too many to check. So I've been spent some time the other day re-uploading some old ones. I have tagged these as new, so if you see it as like a, it's tagged new in brackets and then whatever the title is. So if you see that popping up, then that's an indicator as to what's going on there. Some of those include, in case you've missed them from the past, my Last of Us 2 documentary review. So that's my review for the Grounded 2 documentary for the game. So that was a, let's call it, fresh upload. Then, of course, we had our season finale review, myself and David, only spoiling the episode, no future spoiler predictions there for season 2, episode 7. Of course, the show has already been renewed for season 3, and might be back in about 2 years. So we will get back to that when we get back to that. So that was fun to do with David as well. We should have one more, in typical E3 style, sort of classic one more thing. We've got an idea for one more podcast this week. It might be tomorrow, might be Thursday. I have to see if we can do it tomorrow. We're not going to tell you what it is, going to be a surprise. So we're going to do that hopefully this week as well, so look out for that. And then over on Refreshed Podcasts, one which was called What Is Going On with Scream 7. This was following on from some of the casting departures and returns, so all that sort of thing. Another one which was a refreshed episode is the United Cast, the history of Sir Matt Busby. For those of you that don't know, I was named after Sir Matt Busby, the late great Sir Matt Busby, who was incredibly successful for us, giving us our first European trophy, and also had to recover a team after some of them literally actually died, of course, from the tragic Munich tragedy as well. So talked all about that. And then, of course, I'm putting out the, turns out, only the season 3 episodes you needed to do for Breaking Bad. The season 1 and 2 episodes are fine. I've checked all of them, both on the site and on the podcast platforms. They're all working. They're all good to go. It's just the season 3 episodes that aren't working properly. So I'm going to slowly be putting those out, because I don't want to dump, like, 10 of those on the site and take up all the space, and you know, people might log on and think that we just do Breaking Bad or something. So we're up to season 3 episode 2. There'll be season 3 episode 3 dropping tomorrow as well. I'm going to drop them on Wednesdays over the next 10-11 weeks or so, so check out those. And of course the other one for season 3 episode 1. I did already put out refreshed ones for season 1 episodes 1 and 2. I don't need to put out any more of those, but I'm just gonna leave those there, so you can check those out. Over on another one that was a refreshed episode was our Fallout Season 1 review. So I thought, you know, thought Fallout is coming back soon-ish for Season 2. And I think has already been renewed for Season 3. So you can listen to, well, I say fresh, it's the same podcast, just been re-released. So that is now fixed and working. That's our Fallout Season 1 review, so you can check that one out. Then, of course, I went to see a film recently, Thunderbolts, the latest edition in the MCU. I absolutely loved it. For a lot of different reasons, I gave that a strong must-see rating. Apparently, it's not doing very well at the box office, which is a big shame, because there's a lot of kind of fresh ideas and sort of, it's just a very, very good film. So that's a shame to see for Thunderbolts. And that is that. And then, of course, my skip review for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which, if you're worried about spoilers for a game that's 20 years old, I didn't actually get into spoilers because there was no real need to. So anyway, that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. I meant to include this in the pre-talk, but I guess it doesn't quite matter. I mentioned recently I was going to start putting in not necessarily news parts, but just videos on stuff that I've watched, things that I have seen. Maybe it's if it's a video on a preview or like just other YouTube stuff that I've seen. So I've seen. I remember this game getting revealed, and then I sort of forgot about it because there's so many different things to keep an eye on in the industry. There's a game coming out called Mind's Eye, which looked to be this sort of sci-fi kind of cyberpunk Watch Dogs GTA-esque sort of game. And one of the ideas with this, I think, was to lean a bit more into sort of AI stuff and that, that sort of area of things. And it looked decent from its first trailer. I remember us talking about it after some presentation that happened. Can't remember if it was like a PlayStation State of Play or something like that. It was revealed somewhere. Might have even been the Game Awards. I can't remember how long ago it was actually. Anyway, this game has been like quietly trudging along and apparently is out quite soon. I did check out Access's video for it, and Connor and Rosie were. It was Connor has played the game, and Rosie was sort of poking him with questions and that sort of thing. And he was trying his best, you could tell, to kind of talk good about it. Although he did mention in the video that he had a slight, was a bit under the weather. So take that for what you will. I was interested in this game. I'm still going to play it because I still want to, form my own opinion on it and whatnot. It doesn't look inherently bad. It just looks not as good as what it should be. And from what I understand, this is from like some former Rockstar, I think it's Rockstar, developers and people like that. So, there's a bit of a, when you start mentioning things like that, the bar gets a bit higher. A lot of it just looks like kind of, sort of simple cover-based shooting. Standard car driving and that kind of thing. I didn't see a whole lot in there. Now, I don't know if it was a case that the player hadn't unlocked stuff or whatever the case may be, because that might be the case as well. It just looked a bit simple. That isn't inherently a bad thing, but I think the expectations were a bit higher going into this. But yeah, it didn't look like there was anything sort of like, when you look at Cyberpunk now, right? And there's like a loads of different stuff you can do. You can get like claw arms out, and you can get like there's lots of different hacks you can use on enemies to make them burn, and all there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. You can shoot from cars, and do what is it again that you can do? You can have like if the police are chasing you, you can make them slam their brakes or something, or you can make the car explode. There was nothing in there, and I'm not asking it to, copy Cyberpunk and have the same sort of hacking systems and that sort of thing, but it didn't seem to really have anything more than just shoot some stuff, take cover, drive, explode some stuff, and that looked like it was about it. I don't know what you've seen from this game, but I don't know if you remember the game, because I almost kind of forgot about it myself. So, any thoughts on this game? Mind's Eye? You're still muted if you're trying to talk.
Yeah, I saw it on an ad tile today on my Xbox for a pre-order,
Oh, cool.
but it's a shooter, so I have no interest in shooters, so it's not anything that's been on my radar.
Have you seen any like previews going around and other kind of
No,
opinions?
nothing's been popping up in my feed yet, but with all the things going on in the next week, it's easy to get buried.
True. True. Yeah. Did it have a date on it? Do you remember seeing?
No, but I can look that up real quick.
Okay. It does sound like it's out either this month or maybe next month. Because I didn't see that same tile that you were talking about. But we'll see what that is like when it comes out.
June 10th. So right now.
That is very, very, yeah, very, very, very soon. I've also noticed sort of, have I seen any advertisement for this game since the first trailer? I don't think I have, which is one of the reasons I sort of forgot about, because I remember when they first showed it and I was like, oh, this looks kind of curious, and you were a bit more sort of down on it. Like you wasn't as interested in me, and even I was kind of like, It looks like it's got, maybe a cool kind of premise. So we'll see what it ends up being like. Not everybody
Yeah, but if
like.
you think about it, game advertising as a whole has been down really bad this year. Split Fiction came out. They didn't really advertise that. It still sold well. Exposition 33 didn't advertise very hard. Still did well. We got a couple more games coming out in the next couple of weeks. And I haven't really seen. The only game I've seen like really heavy advertised was Doom the Dark Ages, and that didn't do as well as people wanted.
Well, with the state of play that we're going to be talking about in a bit, they could maybe show Mind's Eye over there. And then the only exceptions to games you mentioned, I've seen a lot of interviews popping up with Expedition 33, but that might be the algorithm or something. So.
Well, that's because you've got Clive from Final Fantasy 16 and Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3 doing the two main voices for characters. And then for actors, you've got Charlie Cox, aka Daredevil. And then you got Andy Serkis, aka Gollum. That's going to turn some heads.
Very true.
And they both put in just magnificent performances. I'd love to have an interview with Charlie Cox for like, and just not even like a full interview, like three questions. I'd love to get a chance to ask him about doing the voice recording for Expedition 33.
Nice, nice. All right, let's move on from Mind's Eye and talk about Gears of War, my favorite Xbox franchise still. Netflix's Gears of War live action movie is set to be directed by David, I might say this name wrong, Leitch, Leitch, Bullet Train and Deadpool 2. Then it says John Spates, Dune 1 and 2 is writing the script. There's some good CVs there. I know a lot of people. I didn't personally get into Dune, but I know a lot of people like Dune 1 and Dune 2. I haven't seen Bullet Train, but I heard some decent things. And then Deadpool 2, from what I remember from almost 10 years ago, was a decent film. I've had this film kind of in the back of my mind for a while because I am a Gears of War fan. And I do have the sort of want to kind of replay it. Maybe it's because this film is coming up at some point soon and I would like a refresher. And it is coming to PlayStation as well, so that could be an opportunity to do that. I think in August or something. This doesn't make me more excited for this film. There's two reasons I'm not excited for this film, which is one because it's a film and Gears of War deserves a full, like, seasons of TV shows. That's what it needs, really. And also because it's Netflix and I just don't trust Netflix to it's not like okay well when when any trailer or anything comes out for Netflix I just dismiss it, but you're adapting something here, and when apart from like let's say the Cyberpunk Edge Runner, which was different to the actual games and stuff because that was a very very good show, they messed The Witcher up. They had and look, they still have a bunch of really great originals. I mean, I'm when I finished Adolescence, which I think is a very important TV show as well, they knocked that out of the park. Netflix is capable of doing phenomenal things. I don't think adapting is one of those things they're very good at. Although they are doing a very good job with the I'm watching Dragon Prince at the moment. I've just got back to season four, five, five I think with that, and that's been very good so far. I've just finished season five. But I mean, okay, if you flip it around and let's say Netflix was still doing it, but it was a TV show, so you change the full, because it just gives you more time if you do it, if you do a TV show. I would have a little bit more trust. I would just like to have a HBO series done for this, because that's the high bar of quality production. Or maybe Amazon. Amazon's done obviously some very good adaptions as well, like with Fallout, for example. So, yeah, I saw this and it kind of okay. They're still doing this. I haven't seen any casting news for this year. Obviously, a lot of people want what's the guy's name? Dave Bautista to do Marcus Fenix, which would I think he's said before that he would want to do that. So
Yeah,
that,
he's campaigned for that hard, but
yeah.
he would have to be like a future Marcus Fenix because the guy's my age, and I'm 51, so.
I don't know how many people would be bothered by that because people want him to do it so badly that I think they would probably just look past that anyway. So, is he that old?
I know he's either a little older or a little younger than me. Let me check.
Okay. I thought he was, maybe slightly younger than 50-something. Although he started in the MCU, 10, 15 years ago?
So. Born 1969, so he's actually 5 years older than me. Oh. So he is 56.
Damn. All right. So I'm going to watch this when it comes out because I almost have like an obligation as a fan. Of course, we need to get, casting news, images, trailers. There's a ways to go before this is just out and me watching it. There's steps to go before that. But yeah, again, these are people with interesting CVs. But I don't know. My expectations for this are quite low, which I think is a smart thing to do. What do you think of these people being added to this film and the idea of this film, I suppose?
I have no faith that this film is going to be any good. And that's nothing against the writer or the director. That is 100% on Netflix. Because there's almost no streaming service that has like a good record of adapting anything to anything. Now, granted, movie studios are just as terrible. That is a long list of failures and terrible decisions. But you get outliers. Like Cobra Kai, it was originally YouTube Red and moved over to Netflix. That was way better than it should have been. Obviously Fallout, but Fallout had the advantage, like I've said many times on this podcast, of every game has a different protagonist, so you're not locked down to any storyline.
Yeah.
None of the other game adaptations will have that advantage. And you have, Netflix forcing people to do a bunch of stupid crap to appease people that aren't even watching the show to begin with, and it just ruins it.
Yeah. They're out of all the streamers and stuff, Netflix is, I would definitely say, the weirdest, because they can make some of the most stupid decisions and then come out with, again, recent example, something like Adolescence, which luckily doesn't need to and shouldn't be renewed for season two, because that's a lightning in a bottle type thing. So we'll see how it goes. I wonder how long before we actually start getting, probably next year sometime, when we start getting actual, like, a trailer or something.
At least 2 years.
Yeah, something like that. So, we shall see. I can push it back into the back of my mind for a little bit, I suppose. Speaking of things that are not only in a distant future, but are now not coming out, the Black Panther game. Now, this is not to be confused with the currently in development, I believe it's called Rise of Hydra 1943, game from Amy Hennig's studio. Of course, she worked on the Uncharted games and was doing some work for EA before they both fell out with each other. So that is not to do, the story I'm about to read is not to do with that game, so nobody freak out. I know it's very easy for some of you out there to freak out, but this is not that time. It says here, EA has cancelled their Black Panther game. Cliffhanger Studios, the studio developing the game, has been closed down. So, and this was, EA, I did read out the EA part. Yeah, EA has cancelled their Black Panther game. Cliffhanger Studios, the studio developing the game, has also been closed down. So something must have gone very wrong here for you to be like, not only is the game you're working on cancelled, yeah, you're also getting shut down as well. Man, I wonder if, like, these people that worked on this game, were you told one thing on one day and one thing on another day, or both things on the same day? Because one thing is like, okay, you get told your game's cancelled, and then you might think, okay, what are we maybe working on next? But then you get told your studio's being shut down. You then don't have the studio to work at to do, and unless you get moved, somewhere else or something, to a different studio. I suppose it depends who's actually hired you or whatever, right? So I think this news came out like just before we went to record Last of Us last week, and I'd briefly talked about it with David, and I was like, "Oh, this isn't the." My immediate reaction was like, "Oh, this isn't the Amy Hennig game, because that wasn't from EA, that's from, I think, Skydance, if I remember the correct studio's name." So I cannot mourn the loss of this game, because I did not remember that this game was in development. I do not remember. I can't remember if I remember an actual official announcement for this game. Either it's been so long that I didn't remember that, or maybe it was because that was so long ago. And then the newer Black Panther, the one with Captain America, the Hydra thing, and Black Panther, and then that one came along and obviously took more eyes towards it, and then everybody was just thinking of that game as the Black Panther one. I mean, still kind of sucks that this Black Panther, because Black Panther's a very cool character, sucks that it won't be coming out, but if you'd quietly cancelled it, I would never have realised that it got cancelled, because I just didn't remember it. Because I was talking with David for a bit, and I was like, I do not remember this. Like, the Wonder Woman game, certainly remember that. Obviously, Wolverine's coming out, certainly remember that. In fact, the only one I remember from EA that's supposed to be coming out is that Iron Man game, which I think was announced maybe before this Black Panther game. Because when I was thinking, okay, EA games and superheroes, Iron Man came to mind. I can't remember. I think it's Respawn who's doing that. I also don't remember a studio, unless they've made stuff that I wasn't aware that they made them. I also don't really remember the name Cliffhanger Studios, so this sort of just came up, and I was like, my brain just doesn't remember any of this information. But now neither of those things are happening, and I guess Cliffhanger won't be making any more games because they've been shut down. So this was just very odd. Yeah. Anyway, how do you feel about this? Did you remember this game was in development? Do you know who Cliffhanger Studios was? Like, what's where are you at with it?
Well, I forgot that I vaguely just remember it getting announced. I think it was announced like sometime along with like the Wonder Woman game. And this is going to
Maybe.
sound harsh to say, but I'm actually glad it got canceled because it didn't ruin the character because of who they hired on the game. Did you see any of this
No,
with the.
because I didn't remember like anything about this game, so.
Okay, so they have an associate narrative designer at Cliffhanger Games, well, had, who was working on the Black Panther game called Dani LaLonders. She was formerly working on a game called Valley Date, which is a romantic visual novel about 13 adults in Jersey City navigating new relationships and the harsh realities that come alongside with them. Sounds like an interesting game. There's two full motion video games where it's all live actors. Called 5 Dates and 10 Dates. Super indie. 5 Dates was recorded actually during COVID, so it gives you an interesting gameplay perspective. And 10 Dates is when they first started opening things back up in the UK. Highly recommend them as a double A different play. Anyway, when Danny was.
So are those
I'm
from
sorry, what?
Cliffhanger? Are those also from
No,
Cliffhanger
no, no.
Studios? Okay.
Total tangent. I forget the name of the studio, but that's a total tangent. But I'm giving a parallel to her making a dating game and dating games that I would actually recommend.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Okay, that's fine.
Anyway, and this is why you need to do serious deep dives on the people you hire, because when she was working on the game Validate, she gave an interview. And this is a section of her interview. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Quote, "We have no white people on our team. I did that intentionally because I wanted to create a safe environment, and I know the best way for an environment to be safe is to be around people who are just like me. I'm not saying that white people are creating an unsafe environment. I'm saying sometimes it is hard to work with white people. Because sometimes they think something is okay when it's not." Are you actually fucking kidding me with that? Flip that around and have any white person say that about any other race, and they'd burn the building to the ground. But apparently, this is okay.
So that was directly in relation to the Black Panther game.
Yes,
Okay.
that is the associate narrative designer, so somebody that's writing the story. For the Black
Right,
Panther game.
yeah. See, if that quote was from, because literally when I read just those two lines of game cancelled, studio shut down, those are the only two bits. In fact, I didn't remember anything about it. So when I read those two bits, those are the only things that came back to my mind. So the idea of me remembering that interview, if I did see it
Oh,
at the
you would have
time.
never seen that interview.
Right.
From what I've been able to Google search, Validate was a very small indie game, which is why I brought up the 5 dates and the 10 dates. But this is out there. That was actually a year and a half ago when she did that interview. So Cliffhanger Studios clearly either didn't do their homework on who they were hiring, or they just didn't care. And neither of those answers is a really good look for the studio.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what, like, I remember when superhero stuff gets announced. Like, I keep those. Like, how many years was I clinging onto that Wonder Woman game for when we just had a
Like
trailer?
four.
Like,
That came out at least 3 or 4 years ago.
I don't forget these things really. Unless it's like, shorts on Disney Plus or smaller things. But a Black Panther video game is not a small thing. And I wasn't the only one. A lot of people kind of, because when this story was going around and I was reading some comments, some people did think this was, oh, this is the Amy Hennig game, right? Because that's the newest Black Panther thing. And everyone was like, no, there was another one. And everyone was like, what other game? What is. So I guess everybody just forgot. So yeah, weird. Can you mourn the loss of something that you forgot about? I don't know. I don't know. So it.
Technically, you can mourn the loss of anything. I mourn the loss of being able to s of sleep and not hurting myself in the middle of the night when I sleep. I'm at the age where I roll over and pop my shoulder. Getting old sucks. Don't do it. I wouldn't recommend it. Hard skip.
Oh, you've used the rating system there. Nice one. But hey, on the bright side, at least we do actually have another Black. At least this isn't the case of, oh, a Black Panther game got cancelled, now we don't know where the next one is. At least there is actually another one in development, so.
Yeah, and one that actually looks good too. And it's got my favorite character from Walking Dead doing the voice of Black Panther, so I'm really excited about that.
Good old Kerry Payton. So, and
Yep.
by the way, just to be clear as well about my opinion on Amy Hennig, not that I've ever said anything inherently bad about her, but it was just when I went to revisit Uncharted 1 through 3, and I didn't feel like the human touch was there as much as it was in Uncharted 4. That does not mean I think that she's a bad writer or director. Like, her going from Uncharted now to this, she might do a better job here than maybe what she's done with the Uncharted. So I still trust her to make games and all that sort of thing. It was just because I went from, game one to newest game with Naughty Dog, there was just certain things I noticed. So we will see how that one turns out. You said about combining these two things because I have the state of play thing written. I guess we can combine them. Yeah, that's all my news this week. Whatever, I'll transition to you. What have you got to talk about?
Okay, well, talking about the state of play, I actually have a full schedule of all the game conferences coming out in the next couple of weeks. Yesterday was actually the state of Unreal. They're showing off Unreal Engine 5.6. It was all tech demos, so nothing really worth watching or looking up on unless you like to geek out on how disturbingly realistic they can make some things look now. Like the landscape is just like it's literally better fidelity than real life. They did show a tech demo for Witcher 4, so if you're scrambling for any kind of news on Witcher 4, you can see that. And June 4th, which is tomorrow, is the PlayStation State of Play. June 6th, which is Friday, is the accessibility and ability Summer Showcase, the Green Games Showcase, the Summer Games Fest, the Day of the Day Devs, and the IOI Showcase. And June 7th is the Wholesome Direct and the Future Games Show. And Sunday, June 8th, is the Xbox Games Showcase, the Outer Worlds 2 Direct, and the PC Gaming Showcase. All of these are either going to be on Twitch or YouTube. Obviously, the big studios like Sony, Microsoft have their own Twitch channels. Although I don't know if I would go anywhere near Sony's Twitch channel, which I'll talk about later.
No. I don't actually
The
spend
only
that much.
one.
I only actually go to Twitch, like, let's say I'm following, like, you know when Bex used to stream on, like, just Twitch, for example. I only really go to Twitch if the content I'm looking for example, is only on there, because, you know, a lot of people stream and put stuff on YouTube. So if you're on YouTube and Twitch, I'll just come over to YouTube, so.
The only ones that are exclusively YouTube are the Green Games Showcase, Day of the De of Devs, and yeah, that's it. I mean, it said it doesn't have the Xbox and Outer Worlds 2 on Twitch, but I'd find it very hard to believe that they're only going to live stream on YouTube. I don't buy that.
Yeah, I agree. That all of them?
That's everything that's listed. So this is kind of replacing what would have been E3.
So yeah, for the state of play that we've got, any predictions we've got? So I've seen a few different bits of discussion floating around. The two kind of most I've seen big question mark sort of games is Wolverine. And some people have wondered about Intergalactic, which is Naughty Dog's next game from Neil Druckmann.
Isn't Wolverine a Warner Brothers studio game?
No, it's Insomniac.
Oh, Insomniac,
Yeah,
okay.
same like Spider-Man people and all that. So, which yeah, okay. Speaking of when we last saw something, we haven't actually seen Wolverine for a long time. So I feel like that's if you're gonna have a big, you know, future tease kind of thing. That could be that. You've got Death Stranding coming up very soon, and you've got Mind's Eye coming out very soon. So I'd expect something from those two. In fact, there's a scheduled trailer on YouTube for Death Stranding too, so that's probably very likely gonna be coming out. Probably like a launch trailer or gameplay thing or something, which I'm looking forward to. What else? Probably something Ghost of Yota. I mean, okay, what are their big games for this first party games for this year? Is probably, well, Death Stranding isn't actually a first party game, but it's considered as one. Probably Death Stranding, Ghost of Yota, and there is one more game I'm pretty sure that I'm forgetting about. Yeah, we'll probably see those two because we've had what one Ghost of Yota trailer so far, so probably do another one of those. I'm not expecting any massive announcements. So, like a spy. I mean, I don't think you'd have like a Spider-Man 3 and Wolverine at this state of play. Plus, I think have we kind of grown to learn that state of place for like, okay, this isn't where you get big reveals. This is, although I think at the last state of play we did get Ghost of Yota, so I don't know, but. When they say showcase, that's more of like a big emphasis on we're going to show multiple big games and really, you know, do that once a year and sort of hit hard with that. You'll probably see a, you know, maybe some VR stuff there, some other things like that. But I would like to see Wolverine because I'd like to see what's going on with that game as well. There was a rumor I saw this morning that there's maybe going to be like a 2.5D God of War game as well. I'd be curious about it, but yeah, I don't
I
know.
know there was like a PlayStation portable God of War game, but that was like way back in the day. That was like in the PS2 era.
I don't know if this is a remaster of that or a brand new game or whatever it would be, but something slightly smaller scale. Because we've not heard from, I think, it's Santa Monica since Ragnarok came out. You might see some more of, you know the Raoul Cooley Housemarque, the one that they're making. I've forgotten the name of it. You might see some of that as well. I think it'll probably be a bit too early to see Intergalactic yet. I think you'll get maybe the next trailer for that at the Game Awards, and then next year see some gameplay, and then probably that year or the next year it will actually come out. So that's yeah. Plus, I don't think I think you'll see either Intergalactic or Wolverine here. I don't think that you'll see both, and I think you're more likely to see Wolverine. So, because that technically should be further along in development, I guess. So, what do you think we might see at State of Play?
I doubt we'll see Intergalactic because we only just now saw a trailer a while ago. So unless the game's like post alpha into early beta, I don't see any reason to show any kind of gameplay from it.
Yeah, plus you've got more games coming out sooner to focus on, I think.
I would like to see Wolverine update, but I'm not exactly holding my breath on it. And I can't think of really any other game that might come out that I would be interested in, because the Wolverine one's the only one I'm really interested in, and even then not so much because it's probably going to be a Sony exclusive and I'm not buying a PS5 to play it, and I'm not signing into frickin' PlayStation Network to play it on my PC.
True. I wonder, one other little thing I got. I wonder, now we've had, is it two or three DLC bits for Astrobot? Because we had the big Christmas level, which was almost like five levels in one. You had two different sets of time trials, so five each. They never, when they put out the last one, and maybe this is just me being hopeful that I'll add more because it'll just be more fun to get more Astrobot. Because, you know, who doesn't love Astrobot? When they put out the last level, they didn't say this is the final update or this is the final level. Now, they didn't need to put out any of the free DLC that they did because they just didn't have to, because the game in of itself, even the main game, is still good enough and, you know, big enough to be like a full game and all that sort of thing. But maybe like five more levels for that is possible, I suppose. Because we didn't know that the other levels were coming out until they were like, hey, by the way, this week we're starting a new set of five levels. Here you go. That's more kind of hopeful thinking. But yeah, I would say Mind's Eye, Death Stranding, 2, probably Ghost of Yote, and then if they have, I feel like their big one, apart from a possible other new game reveal, so something we wouldn't know about, it's probably going to be Wolverine. Like, if they have a big thing there.
Well, yeah, Death Stranding 2, I can actually see, because that comes out at the end of the month. That has a release date of June 26.
Yeah, so they need to do something for that. And even if you do have this, like, 2.5D God of War thing, that's not the new big game I'm talking about. That will obviously be something smaller scale. You probably end with Wolverine, I'm guessing. They said it's about 40 minutes, this presentation, so you got time to do stuff. Plus, there'll be some stuff in there that we wouldn't have guessed or wouldn't know about, so we'll see. We have an Xbox One to predict for as well, don't we? Because that's coming out. That's the end of this week, I.
Sunday.
Yes, near the end of this week. We've already had a good chunk of, you know, when they did that Dev Direct, we've had like Dooms come out, South of Midnight, which is another game I need to get to. That's come out. The Ninja Gaiden Shadow Drop obviously came out. And what was the other one that they showed? There was four. I can't remember what the other one actually was. But I think they've been through all of those releases pretty much. So,
Yep.
but yeah, probably something Forza related, because there's usually something Forza related. What else could you show? I wonder, what about if we
Well,
just go
me being me, I want State of Decay 3, but
back? I actually forgot about
that's kind of why I want it.
that game. Oh, I
Because
forgot
the
about
last
it.
one they did, where they showed that updated trailer of State of Decay, I was literally vibrating in my chair, like, are they going to shadow drop it? Are they going to shadow drop it? Am I going to get a release date? Nothing. I was so disappointed.
My brain just did that. Oh yeah, you remember that game? Not because I'm not excited. I love the State of Decay games, but man, we've
Not like I
seen,
am. My
man,
State of
we've.
Decay is your Last of Us.
That is accurate and fair. Both the first games actually came out near enough the same time, didn't they? Last of Us One and State of Decay. So, Both have very different goals, but whatever. So, man, I can't believe I forgot about that game, but I also can because okay, since from the first reveal trailer till now, how much have we actually seen of that? Nothing,
Nothing.
really.
We've gotten
So,
2 release trailers, and that's literally it.
So it doesn't surprise me that I've forgotten. Not because I'm not excited, but just haven't seen anything from it for so long. Yeah, hopefully that's there in some capacity. Hopefully it, exists somewhere. I wonder, because we don't know. Could see it on both, actually. What about, that Gears of War Ultimate, whatever it's, I can't remember, Reloaded or whatever it's called. That could be both at the State of Play and at the Xbox thing. Because coming out, that would be really weird to see us PlayStation State of Play and like Gears of War's on there. Man, things are changing. Who knows? Maybe the State of Play ends with like, hey, here's the Halo collection. Because how long before we see that get announced? And that wouldn't be on the Xbox One because I'm thinking of like, just the Master Chief collection. Although maybe you do some package and it's all six. Well, how many is there? Six, yeah, all six of them. State of Decay. Three, if that's still there, probably something from Forza. I don't know. Trying to think of other studios that Microsoft has, apart from obviously all the Activision stuff.
Possibly a Grounded 2, but I haven't heard anything that they're making a sequel to that game.
You know, I was
All
just
kinds
think.
of stuff.
You know, what I was just thinking is the next COD. Which
Or
is
maybe
supposed.
the next season of COD or a DLC pack of some kind.
Or both, maybe.
Yep.
So, because you haven't, I can't remember what month COD gets revealed. Because the last 2 years, I've not quite paid as much attention to the newer games. That could obviously be there somewhere, and that's cross-platform. Wonder what's going on with Crash Bandicoot these days. Like, I've just not seen anything on anything, and I'm very much still in those circles, but there's just no discussion right now. So, or something for Spyro. Like, please give those people Spyro. I mean, I don't really care that much about Spyro, but please give those people Spyro 4 because they'd really like it, and I would like those people to be happy because why would I not want them to be? Doubtful on those. If anything, you maybe get something for the 3 and 4 remaster for Tony Hawk because I think that's coming out at some point soon. So yeah, that's some. Anything else for you for Xbox?
I know Tony Hawk 3 and 4 has a release date. I forget when. I'm not
Yeah,
gonna get it,
I saw it
so
on the PlayStation Store the other day. So.
not really. Like I said, I'm outside of State of Decay 3. There's not really an up and coming Xbox game that I really, really want. And I actually kinda like that. Just because it I don't have to have it in the back of my mind. Is this coming out today? Am I finding anything? I don't have to put all that mental bandwidth into tracking that or not.
See, now I'm trying to dig a little bit deeper in my brain and think, okay, is there any games you haven't heard about for 2 or 3 years that you've not forgotten about but aren't currently on the forefront of your mind that you go, oh yeah, that one, or oh yeah, that one. I can't, nothing's coming to mind. There's only one other studio that we've not heard from for a while, which is the people that make made Limbo and Inside, two games which I really, really love. They said that they were going. There was like a screenshot of the game 2 years ago or something, and it takes them a minute to make their games. And they said they were going for something a bit bigger scope. So, and that I think pop up almost anywhere. So, we'll see. All right, let's move on from this. What else do you want to talk about today?
Well, going to some of the unfortunate stuff, Sony and all the studios they own are just one long train of cargo containers that are on fire, heading over to a cliff, going down into the pit of a cliff, It's also on fire. So the
Sounds
first,
safe.
So the first dumpster fire we have is from Haven Studios, which Sony owned. That was founded by Jade Raymond back in 2021, 2 months leaving 2 months after leaving Stadia, which everybody's forgotten about Stadia. So she created Haven Studios, and they made that Fair Games with a dollar sign instead of an S. And that first trailer of that came out, and that game got dragged. I mean, it was bad. And it was actually so bad, I don't know if there is a corollary,
It was called
but
what, sorry?
Jade. Corollary.
Now, what was the game called, sorry?
Fair Games. And it's basically a Payday wannabe, but with a theme of fuck the rich. It's literally you
I
break
recognize
into
Jade
a.
Raymond's name in Haven Studios, but not that game.
Yeah, neither did anybody else.
Maybe I just can't
And
remember any games today. I don't know.
after that game came out and it got dragged so bad, and like I said, I don't know if it's a corollary, but Jade Raymond actually left the studio that she founded, that Sony bought for who knows how much. The article doesn't say. And then they shut down the studio. So a game that they probably sunk another $50-75 million into it, depending on what they paid for it. Live action service shooter. Dead. Just DED dead.
Yep. I mean, I've said a good few times on this podcast, and I remember when we read that list of 17 live service games, only one of which so far has come out and succeeded. The rest have either come out and fallen on their face, or not yet come out, or been cancelled. I still don't really get, and a lot of people blame. Whoa, you're right
Yeah, just readjusting in my chair.
there. Okay. It's had a big scrape, like you were dragging something. What was I gonna say? A lot of people blame Jim Ryan for it, and I guess you can because he was the one in charge at the time. Is when you, for some reason, what year would this have happened? In and around like 2022, 2023, where Sony decided to chase the live service thing for a bit, and they started not pivoting away from single player narrative driven third person games, but pivoted more towards live service. And it's just, apart from Helldivers, is like pretty much the only exception, which is still going on, is still getting new content from what I understand. Again, not a game for me, not a game that I'm particularly interested in, but a lot of people really like it, and that's good for them as well. You really just shouldn't have pivoted in this direction. Of course, we don't need to repeat the mistakes of Concord. Now you've got this one happening. There was talks before of, I remember we were both confused by this, the God of War live action game, not live action, a live service game, whatever the hell that would have looked like. And then there was talks of a Horizon one. It's like, you don't have to take, you do not have, just because you have a big breadth of IP that you've got to your disposal, it doesn't mean that all of them are going to work for live service, and they're not all going to work for live service. Horizon One could, if we ever saw that. Last of Us obviously could have worked in some way, shape, or form. God of War, can't see how that would have worked. Helldivers was a new thing anyway. Marathon doesn't look like it's going down very well, but that was a bit more understandable, which, first person shooter and Bungie, it's, seems like that could have worked. I don't know. I don't know, it's just, The other remaining question is, how long will it take you to pivot away from this completely? Because obviously Jim Ryan's not there anymore. How long will it take you to completely pivot away from this? And to also, for the ones that you've still got in development, which ones are actually worth putting out and which ones are just worth putting in the bin?
Yeah,
So.
I'd say it would take them a good 5 to 10 years to completely course correct because they just had way too many irons in that fire.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, the Horizon was the only one that really conceptually would work because the game was basically an MMO without being an MMO anyway. You could easily convert that into a live service game.
Yeah, something like a
And then the
Monster Hunter
one,
type thing.
yeah. And the one people would actually want to play, which is a Last of Us Factions they killed.
Yeah. Which again is so I know I've talked about this a million times, but the way that it sounded like, and we don't have the full story. I don't know if we ever will, but that one always stick. I know it's because I'm a Last of Us fan. Obviously, I have my finger on that pulse, but it's like from after the point where it sounded like Bungie came in to give like a second opinion and said like, no, this won't really work unless you dedicate yourselves to it, and then Bungie just continued getting worse itself. After that, it's like, okay, should you granted, I'm not gonna try and shit on Bungie because obviously Halo and Destiny and they've done some incredible things in gaming, but it's like in the state that you're in, should you really be the one giving the second opinion on a different studio's game, which is different to things that you've made? Yeah, that one just struck me as a little sort of what would have happened if nobody asked Bungie about that game? What would have happened if they asked somebody else? What would have happened if Naughty Dog did it themselves? Anyway, there's a million different questions there. Who knows? Maybe in 5 years when people's NDAs expire and we start hearing about it, because that sort of thing always happens. But yeah, I guess we'll see what these people do next, I guess. So, yeah, again, different with this one. I recognize the name Jade Raymond and that studio's name, but I didn't remember any sort of games attached to that circle. So, yeah, we'll see where they end up next and what they end up doing, I guess. Any of your thoughts on this?
No, but it's they showed one trailer, and if you just go on YouTube and watch the trailer, it'll be very obvious that yeah, they're that game was never gonna succeed.
Yeah. There you go. All right, what else do you want
Well, staying on Sony and actually staying on Bungie, we
to
have the absolute fall of Bungie, kind of because it's a story in three parts. So for those people that have had their head under a rock for the last month or just don't follow any gaming news at all, Marathon had an alpha released, and a Twitter user by the name Anti-Real posted up a bunch of their work and a bunch of the stuff from Marathon, and it's damn near a one-to-one copy. I mean, the art style with the neon and the black and the lettering. Like, you can go to Anti-Reels. It's spelled really weird. It's 4NT1R34L, is how they put their Twitter name. But if you go to that page, you can just look it up, and it's very, very obvious. And so Anti-Real posted up some photos, and then at Bungie'd and at Joseph Cross, and that set off a firestorm. And then chapter two, in the worst decision in the history of bad decisions in the gaming space, we're talking this makes hiring Don Mattrick look like, I don't know, winning the Powerball for $500 million. They canceled their second alpha stream and turned it into a Q&A live, and they got cooked. Oh my God, did they get cooked? It's like an egg on the sun cooked. Do you remember way back in the day when Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck were promoting Batman versus Superman, and then there's that one clip that became a meme where Henry Cavill is talking, and Ben Affleck's kind of got this despondent look on his face, and everybody put like sad music and black and white with "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." The director that was leading the stream makes Ben Affleck look like a poster child for happy pills. I'm gonna drop the photo in the Teams chat, and I just want you to take a look at this.
All right.
This is him from the live stream. It's not as good of a picture because he's looking down, but it's you could just tell I don't want to be here.
Right, yeah,
And
can
the
sort of see that.
chat, yeah, and the chat is just lighting them all up. And then they found more artwork that they stole. So that makes this not the first time, not the second time, not the third time, not the fourth time, but the fifth time Bungie has been popped stealing art for something. And you can look all that up. It's not fun to look up. I don't like having the dog pile on Bungie, because I was a fan of Halo back in the day, just because, and I've said this before, it was different. If you look at when Halo came out, all the shooter games were like brown and gray. But yeah, they got absolutely cooked, and they're still trying to do stuff, which, you know, props for not giving up, but it's very much the Simpsons meme, stop, stop, he's already dead.
Yeah.
So I give this game zero chance of coming out, and if it comes out, I will be floored. I will be absolutely stunned if this game comes out, because the only reason it would come out is if Sony needed a tax write-off for releasing it.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everybody as well, since I can't remember which part of Destiny they're at, that Sony paid $8 billion to acquire Bungie. Now, if you look at what they've put out, I think they put out like one pretty decent Destiny 2 thing, and then there was another one that came out after that that didn't do quite so well, and then now they did doing this game, and obviously they had their comments about Last of Us Online. Yeah, certainly has not paid off yet, this $8 billion that Sony put into them, or to, you know, to acquire them.
And if you remember, Microsoft played $7 billion for all of Bethesda and all their subsidiaries. And while I don't know if they made that, I doubt they made that $7 billion back.
Oh, not yet.
They definitely are on a better track than Sony is with Bungie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I doubt that they have made that back yet, but they're certainly on a better track. So, because even with something like Oblivion Remastered that was, you know, looked at as quite
good. Yeah, that sold really, really well.
Yeah.
Expedition 33 sold incredibly well. And I strongly recommend you go on YouTube and just listen to the music. Because if you're a music geek like me, the music alone will make you want to buy the game.
Nice, nice.
And I did buy it. I don't have Game Pass because I don't play enough games to really justify that $15 a month.
Yeah. But yeah, I suppose the question I'm posing is like, okay, was I mean, they didn't know this was going to happen. You can try things, you can predict things, but you don't know exactly how things are going to go. It's just how life works sometimes, but
yeah, and this goes back to why you have to go deep dives into the people you hire, because Bungie initially tried to blame a former employee for stealing the art, and then the internet did what the internet does, and they found two active employees that followed Anti-Real on Twitter, which was not a good look. Obviously, you can't say they stole the art. Unless, you know, you'd have to get like a cybersecurity expert to track data transfers off of Twitter into the Sony network, which nobody's going to do.
Yeah.
But the fact that two active members of your art team are following the artist that you stole the art from is not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, $8 billion is a lot of money. There's a lot of things that have been bought for the same amount or less. And again, Sony, nobody would have been able to predict, like, okay, they're going to buy this for $8 billion and it's going to end up like this. But it looks like at the moment you could have spent that money on something different or something better, or, I don't know, put it into a different game, or not obviously into one game, but different games. Yeah, there's still a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So, anyway, we'll see how. But yeah, the just going back to the original thing, cancelling an alpha, like almost like you want to hide the gameplay or something to just sit there and answer questions. Not that doing a Q&A is a bad thing, but if you're going to cancel an alpha to do that instead, that's not a great look. Because that almost tells me you want to hide this gameplay thing and then answer questions. You could do both. Obviously, you can do however many Q&As you want. But doing something like cancelling an alpha is Yeah, it's a bit of a
Well, they were
slap.
canceling an alpha stream to do the Q&A, and the only way you would do that Q&A after the art thing came out is if you're a glutton for punishment. Because there was no way they weren't getting trolled that whole time.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. Hey, at least I wasn't excited for Marathon since day one. So if it comes out and it's bad, then I haven't lost anything. So, but again, the disappointing thing is, okay, if the game comes out, does bad, cool. See you in 3 to 5 years or 6 years for your next game. No matter who you're making that game with, no matter what the game's going to be, it's going to be another 3 to 5 years until your next one comes out. So, they better hope as well that they haven't had like a season or two of content in development or plan, because then if your base game doesn't work, then you'll either have to do what Suicide Squad did, which is force those bits out where nobody really is bothered by them, or cancel those as well, which again will cost even more money and more time and money just going down the drain. So, unless you're something like a Fortnite or a COD, where it's like, okay, you can probably put out, have your season stuff in development, because people are probably going to at least be sticking around the first couple of seasons. Especially for COD players, like I've seen videos of some of the stuff they've put on the Black Ops 6 store. A lot of it is just utter nonsense. You know where I used to sort of like actually point those things out on the podcast? There's no point me doing that now, because all of it is just, it's almost all like a spoof. Like a glowing frying pan. Like, why? Why? What? Why is,
Why the Kong Fist? Why the $80 World of Warcraft mount? Because people buy it.
Yeah, I know that, but yeah.
I know I've mentioned this before, but there's a Twitch streamer under the channel Pirate Software. He actually owns a studio. He was 7 years with Blizzard, and his dad was 21 years with Blizzard. So if you saw a Blizzard cutscene, odds are way better than average than his dad did it. And anyway, he talked about how the paid mount, f paid cosmetic items for World of Warcraft made more money than the entirety of StarCraft 2 and the expansion pack.
Well,
And
yeah.
they still pay, I think they still play StarCraft 2 competitively in South Korea.
Nice. But yeah, they sell this. Like, I'll come across videos of these things now and again. It's like a glowing gun, or a gun that shoots out random stuff, or I can't remember half the stuff that I've seen. Yeah, anyway. So there we go. What do you want to talk about next?
The last thing that I have to talk about is another studio from Sony that already went off the cliff, and that is the game Concord. And the only reason why I brought it up is because there's a weird thing that happened the other day. So here in the States, we have a charity shop chain called Goodwill. Basically, you donate, clothes and whatnot, but it's like you're any other charity shop. And what popped up in one of the charity shops is and being sold online auction style from the Goodwill site is a framed promotion of Concord. So basically what it is, you have to look at the photo. It has the cover artwork with the Concord, and then a disc, and then a plaque of the person that it was given to. So we don't really know a whole lot about it. The plaque was awarded to Chelsea Grace, at least that's the name on the plaque, who is credited the outsourcing and co-development lead on Concord, but no real info on who she was to the company, or how it got to Goodwill. Now, it was up to $3,000, but they took the game off of their auction for some reason, which they don't really go into the article as to why. If I had to bet anything, Sony lawyers were involved, because it's Sony. But still, that's so wild that some random plaque that some random employee got ended up in a charity shop. It's like when you see those clips from like Pawn Stars to where, oh, I got this at a garage sale for 75 cents, and they take it in and it's worth like 30 grand.
That's pretty nice that that kind of does exist. I mean, in terms of the actual, game, I doubt that you can buy a physical copy anywhere. Obviously, the game is long gone off of Sony's actual store. And there
Yeah, when
were.
they closed down the studio, there was a run on the physical copies
Yeah.
just so people could have them.
Yeah. Because, yeah, now, if, I mean, if you tried to get one now, obviously it'd be incredibly expensive if you even. Could find one anywhere, but there were at least as much as you can. I don't know if mocking is the right word, but as much as you can point and laugh at that game because of what ended up happening to it, and obviously the studio as well. There were a handful of people, and I do mean a handful of people that did like that game. I mean, I remember reading on this podcast a story about how the game was going to be shut down in like 48 hours or something like that, and some people like banded together to try to get everybody a platinum, and to have that at the end of a story of okay, however, I can't remember what the game's budget was, but then like eight years development, I think it was like $400 million to then be shut down and closed in 2 weeks is incredible. So to have like that little bit of light at the end of the tunnel of these people that did actually like the game, and if you liked Concord, then fair play to you. That you've not done anything wrong, and your opinion's not incorrect because it can't really be incorrect in that way. There were some people that did like the game, and they did try to band together to get a platinum. So, if someone who did like it and was there for those the game's kind of final hour, so to speak, before it basically disappeared forever. And if you can get your hands on something like this, I mean, I don't imagine something like Concord merch is going to be anywhere close to a thing because Sony's probably never going to want to ever talk about Concord again. But yeah, if you're one of the people that was there in the dying hours of the game trying to get yourself a platinum because in the future it would be impossible to get the platinum, then fair play. It's again, a little bit of a light at the end of a very, very quickly darkly created tunnel. It was just crazy that I mean, I know why, but it was just, man, the time and money put into that game, and then just 2 weeks, bang, gone, done, offline. And because I think it was a case of, okay, if you had a disc and you installed it and you like went to boot it up, it would just say servers are offline, and there was no like offline mode or something like that. Because even with, let's say, some of the old, I think Uncharted games, I think it was Uncharted 2. Had like a multiplayer mode. You can still boot up Uncharted 2 and play the story. It's got an offline mode, and obviously that's what it's known for. But for some of these games that have had their servers shut off, if there's no offline mode or no sort of like offline practice mode, game's basically kind of useless. So, yeah, kind of nice in a way to hear about it, I suppose. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of cool as like a footnote to the story that is. But outside of that, it's probably the last we'll hear about it outside of some future lawsuit, because somebody's going to sue somebody over something from that.
Yeah. Either that or the next time we'll hear about it will be in 3 to 5 years where someone's NDA is finished and there's more talk about it. So, because you've never, like, the amount of times I've sort of, oh, let's check what's going on in like gaming news or whatever, or entertainment news. And you'll see like some big breakout story of like, hey, I was on this set of this thing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. This, that, and the other happened. You're like, right, someone's NDA has expired, or someone's contract thing or whatever has expired. So, the one I always kind of vividly remember, and this was about 5 years after Justice League, the Joss version, and like all the actors came out and were like, okay, this was awful, and all this kind of stuff, and it was just a massive story that just kind of broke out. So, that's the one I always kind of remember.
The one I always kind of remember, and it wasn't so much an NDA, is that During the original Iron Man shooting, somebody snuck onto the set and got a photo from the movie and leaked it online. And then Marvel took that photo and put it in the newspaper at the end scene where Tony's reading the newspaper that says, "Who is Iron Man?" They used that photo, and the person that took the photo could but didn't file a copyright claim because then he or she would have to admit that they broke onto the set and stole and took that photo illegally.
Yeah, true. Bit of a double-edged sword. All right, you said that's the last news piece you have, I believe. All right, we've got one bit of feedback left, which is from Beth. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show with any of your gaming thoughts, opinions, let us know what you're playing, if you finished the game, whatever else, and depending on when you write in your predictions or your opinions on all these showcases that are coming up or whatever. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media, either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. And Beth writes in and says, if Metal Gear 1, so I assume you mean Metal Gear Solid 1, gets remastered slash remade, how do you think they could redo the controller port thing? So for anybody that doesn't know what Beth is talking about, there's a part in Metal Gear Solid 1, and this is one of the best things that's maybe happened in like mechanical stuff in games is when I think it's when Psycho Mantis fights you, and not only can he read your memory card and he sort of references like your save files and games that you like and stuff, which again is just a really, really cool thing. In order for you to, I think, do damage against him, you have to change your controller port, because if you remember, we had wired controllers then. I mean, you can still buy them now, but you didn't have wireless controllers. Change your controller port from 1 to 2. And I guess what Beth's getting at is not only do we not have that now, apart from, USB slots, is we have wireless controllers anyway. How could you replicate that if you actually did try to? Because you could still do the save data read thing, because that would be on your PlayStation anyway, or Xbox, whatever, right? Or Switch, I suppose, if the game came to Switch. And PC, because it could read your actually, you could get really crazy with that with PC files. Like if they, I don't know if they would do that on PC. Like Psycho Mantis reads out like your programs or something to you. Are you familiar with the actual scene I'm talking about?
No, but I am familiar with various gimmicks like that. I remember there was an old Sega Genesis X-Men game to where you had to do the soft reset to get past the stage in one of the end games. So.
Now it wouldn't really be satisfying to like, okay, rather than unplug the thing and plug it in your port too, because that was the like physical mechanic of doing that, because that was just a weird thing to do, but it's a Kojima Metal Gear game, what do you expect? I know on certain I know you can definitely do it on PlayStation. I don't know the exact way you do it on Xbox. Obviously, you can go into like a menu and you can change from controller 1 to 2. That wouldn't be as maybe mechanically as satisfying. What about if you did something like, what about if the game told you that like your battery was low or something? And although if your battery is low, that would be a bit of a double-edged thing. The game said like, hey, your battery is low, please charge it, and then you have to charge your controller to do that. I don't know. How do you think they would maybe do that with the modern hardware that we've got?
Maybe have you power on and connect a second controller and push a button. That's the only thing I could think of, but that's assuming you have a second controller.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what about if you don't have one? Can't get past it. 0 out of 10. Hard skip. Yeah, but that's if they end up doing Metal Gear 1. From what I understand, why they're doing 3 first is because 3 is chronologically first, because that's a prequel game, instead of Metal Gear Solid 1 first. Not that they had to do that, but I think that's why they're maybe doing that first. That's the only thing I can think of is if like you have to the game tells you your controller battery is low and then you charge it, so therefore you have the me physical mechanical thing of plugging your controller in and then you can fight him from then. But what about if you've already got low battery and you've already got it plugged in?
A lot of ifs, a lot of whats.
Yeah. That's assuming the game even gets made. But yeah, not quite the same thing to do. And plus, like, let's say on a PS5, you couldn't switch your USB thing from the front to the other bin because the other bit is a USB-C port. Unless it tells you to do something really weird, like plug it into a USB slot in the back or something like that. What about if like you plugged it in and it was like slot not compatible? Like, I mean, this is Metal Gear we're talking about. If it said like slot not compatible and you're like, okay, should I plug it in the back or something? Yeah.
Maybe go to the main screen on your console and then go back.
Yeah. I guess there could be some like other trick that you do that doesn't specifically involve the port thing. So yeah. We'll see. Anyway, we need that's another game that's coming up soon, isn't it? The I think it's just called Metal Gear Solid Delta for August, September, something like that. That could pop up at one of these, either the Xbox or the PlayStation showcases. So we'll see. Cool. All right, that's what we got for you for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We should be back again, assuming nothing else unscheduled happens. We should be back regularly from here on out. And of course, we'll have well, plenty to talk about next week because it will probably just be us, yeah, talking about what we did see at these showcases. Unless somebody else wants to cancel a live service game or cancel a game or do something else that's
You can't say cancel a live service game to Sony because it'll just be like, hold my beer.
No, I mean, unless it's them doing it. So, who knows? Maybe next week we read that Light Marathon's just cancelled or something. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what might happen? Anyway, we'll see what does happen in the world of video games next week. Thank you very much for joining us and listening to us. You can find, of course, everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. As for TV, games, films, my United podcast, I was going to do the United cast wrap up today, but because we were going to do Gaming Talk yesterday, I'm bumping the United cast episode till some point later. So yeah, but anyway, we really needed to get a Gaming Talk done, so that's why we're doing this today. Anyway, yeah, TV, games, films, Man United podcast. For upcoming stuff, of course, we do at some point if I can get to another showing of Sinners. I still intend on seeing that film. There's Ballerina coming out as well. The I don't think it's an actual, well, it's a spin-off thing of
I think I saw a thing to where Sinners was already had a digital release schedule.
I still want to see it on the big screen though. So yeah, I think it was like June 4th or something. June 5th. Even if that's the
June 3rd.
Oh well, even if that's the case, I still want to see it on the big screen. So look out for that soon if I can. Remember, cinema is always different because you can't tell them to pause it and wait for you or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. And then Ballerina comes out soon. Right over there?
Yeah,
Good.
just moving stuff around on my desk.
All right. So is that, and then the United cast, either this week or next week. I'm not in a massive rush to do that, but at some point do that for this season. And then of course we've got one more Last of Us podcast, at least for season two coverage. So look out for that either tomorrow or Thursday, depending on how tomorrow goes. Then yeah, depending on when I get Indiana Jones and Assassin's Creed Shadows, which one of them I finish first or whatever, gonna review one of those games or whatever at some point, so look out for that. And then we'll see what else comes up. So if you want to support what we do here, of course, word of mouth, social media, and listen to more stuff, you can do that and let people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options that fly as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is out. You can, of course, go from here over to there and get your latest TV and film news over on Geek Town Radio. I've noticed you've not been on there for a bit.
He records on Mondays, and I only have Mondays off as a bank holiday. He usually records at like 10, 11 my time AM.
Yeah.
So the last bank holiday was actually the 26th of May. So that was Memorial Day. And we don't have another one coming up for a while.
I see. I see. But anyway, you can go to geektown.co.uk and Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays for all your TV and your film news. What else is there? Yeah, Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options for that as well if you'd like to. And then YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays for all the bits and pieces and other stuff like that. I put up some new bits as well. I was playing as Abby in the Last of Us 2 Never Return, and let's just say I punched a lot of enemies, and it was very satisfying. So check out all those clips and bits and pieces and other stuff. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.